Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome, everybody, to this episode of the Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter. I'm excited today because I get to have a soul sister on the show with me today who is as passionate as I am about financial literacy and out there doing something about it in a very big way. Welcome, Heather Wagenhals. Thank you for being with me today.
Wow, I'm so excited. I'm a soul sister. That's quite an honor.
We've known each other for years. We have very similar political beliefs and believe in the free markets and free capitalism. But at the end of the day, we also believe in making sure people have the tools to be financially literate. And I know we started off in a little different arrangement. I was, you know, as a CPA in the accounting field, and you actually started off in the stock market world. So tell us a little bit about Heather, little Heather, and then how you got started in business.
Okay, so little Heather grew up very poor. Little Heather had to envy the dirt poor kids because they had dirt. So we didn't have we didn't have very much. You know, my father left when my brother and I were small, and my mother was, you know, all of a sudden divorced with two small kids in the 70s when it was not cool to be a single mother. And so we were ostracized and we were the outcasts. And I was always on the outside looking in. And my
mom.
And
where were you? Where did you grow up?
Right here in Arizona, born and raised.
She's a native. Wonderful. Excellent.
Yeah, born and raised here in the good old desert with our lovely cacti all over. And, you know, I watched my mother struggle. And, you know, she would talk a good game. You know, she even had went through training to be a financial advisor for American Express. But for some reason, everything that she espoused, she never did. Mm. And when you're a child, as you know, I remember the very first time I interviewed you, which was 15 or so more years ago, quite a few years ago. And you had said, when you start teaching children about financial literacy, when they can tell the difference between a 1 and a 5. Mm-hmm. And so even though my mother was saying the right things, she never did them. It was always a struggle. And so I went into the world and I said, you know, I am not going to be poor. I'm going to be rich. I was fixated on it. And at the time I graduated high school and my first semester in college, Gordon Gekko told me greed is good. And so I became a stockbroker, you know? And I started out in college and I was pursuing broadcast journalism. I thought I wanted to be a TV news anchor, but then, you know, the weather guys.
And here you are.
Here I am all these years later. But the weather guy told me to specialize in something. He said, I'm not a weather guy, Heather. I'm a meteorologist. So if you want to be successful as a broadcaster, you need to have a background in something. And so at the time I was like, oh, I could be on the McNeil Lira Report. Wouldn't that be cool? So, you know, the greed is good, the money. I thought, well, what do I like? Well, I'm passionate about money. So I became a stockbroker. And even though I was making people money, I was making rich people richer by the different trades that we were promoting and how we managed money, I wasn't getting richer. I was spending way more. I was living this like lavish lifestyle, but it was empty luxury. And I was having trouble making my mortgage payment. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing above average financially. And, you know, I had all these different, you know, succubi, I guess, mm-hmm. around me, you know. So I had a husband and a mother, and I had all these people draining me, and not just draining my money, but draining my vitality.
And, right, the energy, right, the spirit.
And it was, once you get to that point where enough is enough, then you make a change.
So I think everybody watching and listening, if I think you can hear one thing, and that is Heather is an action taker. We talk on the show a lot about, many of us know what we're supposed to do, but we don't do it. And I don't think that would ever describe Heather, because when, you know, we'll get together every few months, or gosh, you know, sometimes we'll go a year and checking in on where we are, and she'll say something she's going to do and she does it, and as action taker. And I think you saw the other side, you lived in it, you made a commitment to yourself, and then you found out that you were basically, you found a way to make it, you just didn't find a way to keep it, right?
Right. And you know, so many people struggle with the fear of making it. That for me was the easy part. You know, if you tell me to do A, B, and C, okay, I don't question it. Obviously, if you have more money than I do, you did something right. And so if this is the instruction book, I did it. But there was a disconnect because of the behavior that I had learned growing up. And, you know, we model our parents.
That's right. And I tell people it's all up here. You know, that you're the phrase, the rich get richer or the poor get poorer. It's because we learn about it at home, because we're not teaching kids about money. And we grow up in this scarcity mindset. We're never going to have enough money. Mm-hmm. Save your pennies, pinch your pennies. You know, we can't afford it. And that just creates that scarcity mindset. So you're afraid you're never going to have enough. And then when you become successful, you're afraid you're going to lose it. So, you know,
Right. And you're always focusing on the wrong things, you know, and if there's the one financial mantra that I should have never picked up from my mother, but it was, if it was on a sale or you had a coupon, you were morally obligated to own that item. Whether or not you had 20 of them at home in the wrapper unused, you
think
had to get another.
Think of how much money you saved, not how much money you spent, right?
Right. I remember when that term was coined like in the late 90s called spaving, you know, spending to save. It was a cool mashup. I'm like, I'm a saver.
So where did the dime turn? When did you realize that you needed to make changes and that you kind of stepped away from the stock market side to take control of your financial life?
Well, you know, it was kind of, you know, my ADD kicked in. And so I went from, you know, being a stockbroker, I wanted to go back to college. I never got to finish. And so I thought, oh, I'm going to go back to college. And one of my friends had a mortgage company, said, oh, come work for me. You'll be able to, you know, maintain the same income. And it's easier. Instead of asking people for money, now you have it to give out. And so I said, oh, okay, so I'll do that. And then I wound up, you know, because I hadn't been in school for so long, a lot of stuff didn't transfer. I had challenges. I couldn't get accepted back into college at that point. So I just went and I started working full time in the mortgage business. And here I am at, you know, it's at the end of the century, the beginning of the new one, and I'm making money hand over fist, yet somehow my mortgage is behind and I can't communicate with my spouse. And it's not like I didn't know what to do. I just wasn't doing it. And so I went on this thing, why am I not doing what I know I should be doing?
So I want our viewers and listeners to ask themselves, have you been in that spot? Because we all have. You know what you're supposed to do, you're just not doing it. And that's what Heather and I, we both carry that banner when we talk to people.
Absolutely, because, you know, knowledge is powerful, but knowledge is superfluous without application. I had all this wealth of knowledge with regard to money, but I wasn't doing anything with it. I was doing the opposite because it's what I was programmed to do as a kid. As soon as the big checks came in, they went right back out. You know, the impulse spending, the indulgence, the like live for today kind of stuff. And so it wasn't until I was behind on my mortgage and all my other bills and I couldn't get on the same page financially with my spouse that I said something needs to change. And that's when I started studying behavior and the brain. And when I started peeling back those layers, I figured out, you know, this has to do with biology. This doesn't have to do with money. And the decisions I was making about my money still had nothing to do with money. They had everything to do with everything else but money. But the choices I was making in that moment to stop at the local espresso bar every day on the way to work, the going out to lunch every day, you know, it adds up. You know, we're like, oh, it's only $5, right? But then that $5 times 5 days or 6 days a week times 52 weeks in a year, it adds up. And at some point, once I realized that I was my own enemy, it wasn't all these people that I was pointing to, oh, you know, I'm supporting this person, I'm supporting that person, I'm financially responsible for, I'm like, no, I'm responsible. And these people are not doing this to me. I'm permitting this to happen.
Oh, and so that is such a huge day of realization. You know, I tell people it's, you know, it's not what someone says to you, it's how you react to it. And it's the choices that you allow. I was talking to somebody the other day, and Heather knows my husband very well. And I was upset with him about something. And my dear friend said, Sharon, you spoiled him. That's why he's doing that. And I go, busted, you're right. You have to take ownership on what you create. So.
Yeah, and I wanted to blame everybody else for my failings, but it wasn't until I had that eureka moment that I'm like, you know what? These people aren't doing anything to me without my permission. And once I understood that, you know, you still have work to do. I mean, you can have that eureka moment and then do nothing with it. And so I said, okay, so I can allow society's, you know, rules to dictate how I respond to these people because I'm worried about what other people think. But at the end of the day, they're not going to bed all tired and wore out because they're working to support all these people and create all these other people's dreams, and yours are being tabled. Mm-hmm. You know, so all these people that I was worried about what they would think or say or how I would be judged, in that moment that everything became irrelevant and it only mattered what I thought and what I did, that was the moment that changed everything.
And it is. It's when you wake up and realize, you know, that's one of my taglines is you're the CEO of your own life. And, you know, people can't take advantage of you unless you let them. And too many of us are, it's the giving nature that we have and we want to take care of everybody. Well, then they become that, you know, their gratitude is there initially, but then it becomes an expectation. You know, and that's a word that I
talk
about a lot. Expectation can ruin a relationship. It can ruin a dream because expectation without implementation and effort just sets you up for distress and fear and failure. And it's important to understand that you're in charge of the actions that you take. So tell us a little bit about your post when you had that eureka moment. How did you shift what you're doing in your career?
Well, probably one of the greatest things that happened was our mutual friend Jeff Cutler's dad actually was the catalyst for the change because he had a radio show and he was kind of doing a monologue. And they weren't really getting the ratings that they thought. And his dad said, you know, you need a sidekick. And he goes, I need a sidekick. And he goes, yeah, somebody you can play off of. And he goes, you and Heather are so funny together. And he says, wouldn't it be great if you guys could do funny and money?
Oh.
And so, yeah. So that's how it started, was actually Jeff Cutler's dad was the one that said, have Heather on. And so I started coming on the show. And so he gave me like the last 10 minutes to kind of espouse wisdom. And I'm like, okay. And so that's where the Keys to Riches was born, my financial philosophy that I came up with. And I'm like, so how do I incrementally teach people how to change their lives financially by working on themselves? Because the money part's easy. We already know to spend less and save more. That's not the brain surgery part of it, you know? Like, people are like, well, what's the secret to getting rich? And I'm like, spend less, save more.
That's right.
And so I had this chance to really figure out what was important. And that's when I came up with this baker's dozen of financial concepts that build upon the other and start you from the first key, which is acceptance and affirmation. Until you take that warm, fluffy blanket of denial off and say, okay, I've made a mess. I don't know what I'm doing with money. This is, or I still don't know what I'm doing with my money, which is where I was, because I'm like, okay, how many times do I have to goof up before I figure this out? And so that's how it started. And it just kind of, you know, it grew. And then his career, he wanted to go in a different direction, and his financial advising practice was thriving. And so the show kind of just sunset, but the station owner said, people love you. They need to hear about what you have to say. And so that's when Unlock Your Wealth Radio was born. And then I went from just being a sidekick to having my own show. And that was 2003. And I haven't looked back.
Wow. 2003.
I know.
Yeah. And you've made it an incredible. Now you're actually doing it with your studio. I was at your studio yesterday. You're doing an entire television aspect to it as well. So it's pretty exciting. So if people are looking to find you, how can they find you, Heather?
Well, if you'd like to be a part of the show, all you have to do is go to unlockyourwealthtoday.com and you'll find the TV show. You'll see your interview, which will be launching Friday. So for those that are interested,
you know, we'll promote it on our end too.
Yes. So we'll have Friday, we'll have our great show that we did in honor of National Financial Literacy Month. And, you know, you were one of my very first guests when I went and became syndicated, and I was doing this international web thing, and you kicked off National Financial Literacy Month for me back in 2009. So 10 years ago.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
I know, it's crazy how time flies.
And we're both still smiling, and we're both still committed to the same thing. So
yes, and we're both reinvigorated because, you know, obviously you've had some challenges to overcome, and I had a few personal hurdles and stuff that hit me over the last few years, and that's how I decided to go to TV. I said, you know what, I need to change this up, and I need to play big, because some mentor of mine has this whole play big movement, and I said, I need to be a part of what Sharon's doing, so that's my next step, and I appreciate so much your support and endorsement. It really makes it really makes me feel like I'm on the right path with what I do.
Well, thank you. And we will put in the show notes how people can get in contact with you, Heather. And you're going to hang out with me for a few minutes, because we're going to do a second shorter recording, getting a little bit, we talked about vulnerability yesterday when we were together. So we're going to do a short one for the private Facebook group, Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter. So if you're not a member, please join us. And I want to thank you, Heather, for being with me. And we there's just too much time in between the times we get together. So we need to do something.
I know. And you live right down the street.
Yeah, it's a travesty. We're literally less than a mile apart where we live. So, but I look forward to the next time. And thank you. And hold on with us, because we're going to stop this recording and get ready to see you on the other side. Come join us on our private Facebook group, Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter. Thanks again, Heather. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much, and have a fabulous day.